Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Van Morrison this morning, and whenever God shines his light on us, yeah, it caused a blessing. If we need help, we can reach out to him. If they sick, if you lame, if you know sick or lame people, you can pray for them in Jesus' name. And what he did, we can do also. So we thank God this morning for another Friday morning, another weekend, and he has brought us all the way until this present time. And we are thankful unto him. Some didn't make it this far, but he yet blessed us to be here so that we can yet get it right with him. Another opportunity today to love and to share and to lift up his name. Yeah, and to take self-inventory to get our lives on course with him. Yeah, because he loves us today. And without him, we can do nothing. Hallelujah. Without Almighty God, we can do nothing. We got to look to the hills for every little thing. I don't care what come your way, you got to pray today. Yeah, you got to ask God whatever it is you need to ask him. Well, Lord, fix my heart and regulate my mind. God, regulate my mind. I don't want my mind to be out in the world, out in the air, because the devil is the prince of the air. He will tap into your mind and speak things to you that's not even necessary. Things you have no control over. Things you don't want to control. I'm telling you the truth. Because it's God's job. He's equipped to do the work. So we got to ask God to regulate our minds. Heal me today, Lord. Let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. Many people walking around, when I tell you without a mind, yeah, they don't have their own mind. They don't. The devil took it. And they think they still have their own mind, and they think this the way it is, it's the way I think. Nope. The enemy has come in and snatched the mind because you didn't have your mind on God. The world, plenty of people that have not accepted God. Plenty of people who have forgotten God. They walking around with no mind. And this is why a lot of things are happening, stuff you see going on. I was saying at one point, I said, these can't be human beings. They got to be something else. But that's not true. These are human beings. But what happened, the enemy has taken the minds of the people. And he speak in their mind, in their head, what he want them to know and what he want them to do. And so they do what he says and think the way he want them to think. Oh, it's okay to touch a child. It's okay to rape a woman. You just hide it. You just keep it hid what you're doing. It's okay to lie, steal, cheat. Just keep it hid. Don't let nobody know. Oh, they did that to you. It's okay to go over there and blow their brain out. This is not the thinking of people. This is the way that the enemy uses people. And it all starts in the mind, in your mind today. Cover your mind. Pray. And ask the Lord to regulate your mind. You're going to think right. If he regulates your mind, you're not going to be able to let the enemy in to take over your thoughts. Because that's what he want to control. And he don't want you to believe that he's real and that he's taking over your thoughts. He wants you to think you still thinking for yourself, but you're not. Let this mind be in us today, Lord Jesus. That was also in your son, Christ Jesus. Yeah. Father, let our minds be like his mind. He wanted to please you daily. He said, I come to do the will of him that sent me. And he told him, if you don't believe in me, believe on the works that I do. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him take the fish and the loaves. They saw him put the man at the pool in the water. I mean, never put the man in the water. He was waiting for the angels to trouble the water, and he was always trying to get in there, but he never could. Jesus come and asked him, would he be healed? The same thing for us today. Things will be going on, and God will come. And he will never be accused of forcing nothing on you. So he'll come and ask you, is that what you want today? You want to do that? And you thinking in your mind, yeah, I want to do that today. And God will open a door and make a way for it to get done. Sometimes he'll use you to do it. Sometimes he'll just open a door and it's done because he's got the power. But we don't want our mind out here in space. We don't want our mind in the world floating around thinking and looking. No. Regulate my mind in you, Father. Help me to keep my mind on you. Because if not, that enemy come to steal, kill, and destroy. Many people are in the mental institution because he destroyed their minds. And we don't want to be that way. Hallelujah. We're the people of God. We want to believe God, trust him, and have faith and wait on him. Stay humble. Stop thinking you're more than you ought to. Yeah. Older people, if you're mean, stop being mean. Pray for humbleness. God hear your prayers when you pray spiritual things. I promise you he hear your prayers, but you got to do something to help yourself. Last week, I started watching nothing on TV but the books, Luke, Esther, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. I started watching that kind of stuff. First and Second Kings, things that's going to help my mind to stay spiritual. Because in this hour, that Antichrist is wide open. He's not hiding nothing. Uh-uh. That devil is out. And don't care who know it. And people see it and agree to it because they think, oh, this is what's going on in the world now. No, he's just coming in full force. So we got to prepare our hearts and minds. Ask God to fix your heart. If anything in there that shouldn't be, Lord, remove it today in the name of Jesus. And Father, forgive me for my unbelief. Forgive me for my doubts. Forgive me for not covering my mind in you. Forgive me for all that I've done wrong against you. Forgive me for every sin I've committed. And give me a clean heart today, oh God. And renew the right spirit within me this day. You made me for your pleasure. You made me to praise you. You made me to seek you. You made me to be for you. But you gave me a will. I have a will, the ability to do and think however I choose to. And if I choose to let my mind be in the world, then I choose to let the devil take it. He's the prince of the air. He's got some power. He don't have all power, but he has some power. And God gave us power, love, and a sound mind. To keep a sound mind, we got to keep our mind on God. To keep a sound mind, we got to cover our mind and cover it with his word. Cover it with good thoughts. Don't let your mind think on all this evil stuff. Think on whatever's pure, whatever's lovely. Yeah, that you know that is real. That which you know God has done for you. That which you believe God is doing right now for you. That which you believe God is going to do for you. It's where your mind want to be. Yeah. Lord, I believe you're coming back for me one day. I believe you're coming back looking for me. I believe one day you're going to take me and put me in a place where I won't have to go through what I've gone through in the earth no more. Yeah, we got to think right. Hallelujah. And God will bless us. I thank God this morning for him. I thank him for covering me. I thank God for sending his son, hallelujah, that I might have a right to the tree of life. He could have just put me on the earth and went on. But he blessed me. He made me, and then he come back. Because the first man and woman he made, they messed up in the garden, listening to the devil like many of us do today. But he came back with a way to redeem me back to him through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, a taintless blood. Hallelujah. And it's my choice today to walk in him. It's my choice to walk in his spirit because he filled me with his spirit. I have the Spirit of God living in me. I can activate it any time I get ready. But if I just let it lay dormant, you know, never activate it, you know, anything like this, I praise him when I want to. You know, I praise him sometimes. Now, I got to do it every day. I got to keep him first up front in my mind. He got to be always first. Yeah, I give him the first fruit of everything. And because I give it, hey, glory, glory. the first fruit of everything, he blessed me. Not only materialistically, but spiritually, he strengthens me and grow me in him. And this is what we want. Oh, you want to be strengthened in the spirit. You want to grow in God. Not in the world and what you see and what can I do. We pray for people. We have compassion for people. But we don't get involved. Because the ways of a transgressor is hard. We don't know what these people are doing. Pray for them and keep it moving. Do what we can for them and keep it moving. Now, if God say do more, stay longer, that's what we do. If not, we keep it going. Hallelujah. Oh, we got a charge to keep and a God to glorify. We ain't got time for the devil and his foolishness. You give a man many, many opportunities. And it's their choice. You can't come against people's choice. In the drug treatment world, this is what they taught me. They must get, I don't care what you give them, Barbara, how much love you show them, how much you willing to do for them, Barbara. They must get sick and tired of being sick and tired. When they get sick and tired of being sick and tired, Barbara, nobody have to do anything, say anything. They're going to find a way to get rid of the drug habit, the alcohol habit. When I got sick and tired of being a sinner, I was sick and tired of myself. Woo! I was just sick of Barbara and all the foolishness. I found a way to God. Do y'all hear me? No preacher was there. Ain't nobody had to do no altar call. No choir didn't have to sing. No deacon had to get up in line and sing a hymn. Nobody had to get up and testify to nothing. No preacher had to preach. I was home in my bedroom. And I was sick and tired of being sick and tired of me. I went to God. And I went to him asking him if he was real. I told him the truth. I don't really know. But if you're real, I want to be just as real in you as you are real. And he come. And he blessed me to know him. So we can't babysit people. We can't baby people. We pray for them. And they're going to get sick and tired of being sick and tired of themselves. They're going to find a way. Please believe me. And if they don't, that's up to them. We can make choices for people. Hallelujah. We're going to pray and come back and talk about Atheist Day. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word today, Father, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Because of your word, we wake up in the morning and tell you thank you. Because of your word, we're still standing. And after standing, Father, we're able to stand some more. We're grateful unto you this morning. We appreciate you. We love you today. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Hallelujah. Oh, but again, most of all, we thank you for your love. For your love lifted us out of many bad situations. Love lifted us out of us. Love lifted us into you. And we thank you this day. We thank you, Lord, that we want the truth and nothing but the truth. We want to live according to your word. We don't want to get caught up in what people are saying. But, Lord, we want our own relationship with you, that we'll know that we're on the right path with you. For there's a way that seems right to a man, Father, but the end thereof is destruction. And so many are leading people astray from your word, because when they lead astray, it pays money. Because people are lazy. They don't want to study. They don't want to pray. They don't want to fast. They don't want to seek you. And so if they can come somewhere where somebody's saying they're in leadership, God, and just hear what the leadership is saying and believe what the leadership say, Lord, it make it easier for them, they think. But Lord, they digging a hard row. They digging a hard row, Father. Help this morning all over. Fix the hearts and minds of man today. Lord, as we lift you up here each morning, God, we ask that you would draw unto you, for you wish that none should perish. We pray, Lord, for everybody all over the world today. God, you would move in a mighty way. I know you've come, and I know many times you've shown many the way, and they refuse your way. Light shined in darkness, and Father, darkness comprehended it not. But today, Father, we ask that, Lord, you would come again, and that, Lord, you would present yourself, and that you would give them a heart and mind to receive you. In the name of Jesus, oh, we thank you this morning that you're able. We thank you this morning that the earth is yours, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Thank you for everything you've done already. Thank you for what you're doing right now. And Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. We reverence you this morning as Jehovah God, Almighty God that have all power. There is no higher power. We thank you, Father. We thank you this morning. Thank you for being on our side in spite of us. Thank you for looking beyond our fault and yet meeting our needs. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that your word says, cast our cares upon you, for you careth for us. We come this morning bowed down asking for strength, Lord, to have the patience to wait on you. We come this morning asking for humbleness, asking for strength from you. The Lord, when the test of humbleness come, we'll stand. When the test of patience come, we'll stand. When the test of love come, we'll stand. All because this is what we have to do. And we must love God. Strengthen us today that we can go through these trials and come out with what you said. We could have patience, love, kindness, grace, mercy, humbleness, hallelujah. We thank you today, for we need you, Lord, and without you, we can do nothing. Without you, if you don't do it through us, if you don't do it for us, it can't be done. Help us today, Lord Jesus. You're yet giving the world a chance. You're yet allowing the people of the world to do whatever it is. But Lord, we come before you today seeking you. We're seeking your face and repenting, God, because we want to turn from our wicked ways. Then you're going to hear from heaven and forgive the sins and heal the land. And Lord, we have no control over nobody else, only ourselves. And God, we don't have control over us. We belong to you. Lead and guide us, Father, in the right path this morning for your name's sake, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you today. Hallelujah. Father, I bring every call and every listener before you this morning. Bring each family member and each friend, God, near and far. And we ask today that you would bless, send uncommon blessings, Lord, today in the name of Jesus. Send blessings that they could never expect, oh God. Work it out for every household represented here. Work the finances out. Lord, I thank you today. Send finances their way that they can get the things that they desire to get done, done. Bills paid. Children blessed. Medication. Whatever they need. Food. Clothes. Shelter, God. Whatever they need today. I ask the Lord that you would open the doors unto your people this morning. Father, they come faithfully. Those that come through the archives, they come faithfully to hear what the Spirit have to say to them. Through this, Jesus, in the morning that you put together, it belongs to you, Lord. These are your people. You made them for your pleasure. Help us all today, God. We stand in the need of you. We can't do it alone. Fix our hearts today. Regulate our minds in you. Let this mind be in us that was also in your Son, Christ Jesus. Do it right now, oh God. For we need a clear mind in you. And Lord, we can go further in you. Help those who have said, I just have to give up. I can't go no more. I can't do no more. Help today, oh God. Strengthen them to wait on you. Strengthen them to have patience, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we know you're able. There's nothing too hard for you to do. There's nothing impossible with you. Move this morning by your Spirit for your people. Many are suffering, God. Some don't understand, Lord. God, I ask that you would bring clarity to the mind of your people today, And we'll walk upright in you. We'll talk of your wondrous works. We'll make known your deeds among the people. We'll be there for those who need us, those that you have chosen for us to be a great witness to. Help us today, O God. Help us today to be your people. Lord, I know many of us feeling older. And God, we feel like we're going the last mile of the way. But Lord, I look at Abraham. I look at Sarah. I look at Methuselah, 969. Lord, I know you're able to strengthen us in our older age. And God, we'll do more unto you. For you allowed us to stay here for a reason. It's not just to live old and die, but it's so that we can work in the vineyard. For the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. Strengthen us in our old age, God. Lord, we ask that you would even fix our eyes that we see better. Fix our ears that we hear better. Touch and heal our bodies, God, that we can walk more. We can do more physically, God, in the name of Jesus. And give us rest, Lord. When we lay down to sleep, not only just sleep, but Lord, give us rest and peace in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. Help those that got their mind turned on high. Lord, help them to turn their mind off and seek your face and turn from your wicked ways. Turn their mind off from the things of the natural. And Lord, turn it up high in the things of the Spirit this morning. Your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Your word says we have not because we ask not. Your word says, ask and it'll be given. Seek and we'll find. Knock and the door will come open unto us. Father, we're asking, we're seeking, and we're knocking unto you this morning because we can't do it without you. Help us today, oh God. Help us to grow in you. Help us to learn more of your ways. Help us to study your word. And not only study your word, but God, help us to study your moves. Help us to study and see the things that you've done. Hallelujah. Oh, help us to taste the day, all day, and see that you're good. In the name of Jesus, touch our bodies this morning. All of us, oh God. Touch and heal today. You made these bodies. You know all about them. You took a beating for the healing of the nation. It's you, Father, that heal all manner of sickness and disease. Oh, do it today, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I send out a vial of holy oil from you that you anoint this morning. I send it out to your people in the spirit for healing. I send it out this morning for comfort in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, we ask today that you would bless those that are incarcerated. Have mercy this morning, oh God. Strengthen their families. Many mothers are crying over the sons and daughters locked up. Many children are suffering because the parent is locked up. But God, we know you're able this morning. Bless us, only you can do. And those who have not received you that are incarcerated, Lord, we ask that you would draw them as we lift you up today in the name of Jesus. Bless widowers and bereaved families. Bless those that are in every branch of the military and the administration of the military this morning. Our military, oh God, the United States military, do it today in the name of Jesus. Bring clarity unto them. Give them a spirit of bravery like never before, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask this morning that God, you would bless intercessory prayer people everywhere, praying for others in the name of Jesus. Bless their households and their family members today, oh God. Bless whatever they set their hands to do today in the name of Jesus. Bless your preachers everywhere, preaching in the name of Jesus in obedience unto you and love for your people. Lord, it's because of your love that they bring the word forth. They allow you to use them because they wish that none should perish. And Father, we believe that it's your will. Hallelujah. That we talk of your wondrous works and make known your deeds among the people. Thank you this morning, Father. We ask today, Father, that you would bless Israel and prosper Jerusalem. Father, we ask that you would move for these your people like never before. They set the stage for us. And Lord, we ask that you would loose your protecting angels to stand watch, to shield, and protect them. Keep all that they have from all hurt, harm, or danger in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you would bless our brothers and sisters everywhere overseas. And Lord, you would strengthen them in this hour to pray more, to seek your face more, to turn from their wicked ways. Because, Father, you're going to heal their land. You're going to forgive them and heal their land. Father, we ask this morning those that have to hide to bring the word forth, to share with others. They're always thinking there might be a chance that it may leak out about them being a lifter of man. Oh, God, this morning I ask that, Lord, you would loose your protecting angels to stand watch, to shield and protect them and their families. Keep them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Keep them from all sickness, oh God. Illness, everything. Help them to keep their mind on you. Oh, Father, it's you that would keep them in perfect peace today. In the name of Jesus. Loose your angels around them everywhere they go, oh God. Loose them at their doors, Lord. When they go in and out, the angel of the Lord is there. Hallelujah, to protect him. We thank you this morning. Bless this segment of Jesus in the Morning today. Father, have your way here. Move by your spirit for your people today. Father, we come seeking you here. We come as a group here to give you the first fruit of our day as a group here this morning, oh God, in this place. You told Elijah to go over by the brook. And you commanded the ravens to come and feed him in the place called there, where he was. And Lord, where we are today, we ask that you would bless us right where we are today. In the name of Jesus, uncommon blessings, uncommon miracles. Lord, we want the world to see that you're our God and you're not dead and you're not asleep, but you're yet alive. And the earth is yet yours, the fullness thereof in the world that they that dwell therein. We want the world to see that you made the heavens and the earth. Use us in your service, God, to be a blessing unto your people in the name of Jesus. And to others, God, who have not received you. We ask this morning in the name of Jesus. And we give you hallelujah. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise. And Father, we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, His Majesty. Oh, we thank you this morning, Father. We thank you. We thank you. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Ah, yeah. He's a way maker. Ah, yeah. And I thank him this morning. I had acid reflux and I could feel that thing. As I'm praying for healing, I burped. It had to come out of that app. Uh-huh. And so we thank him this morning. Brother Lewis sent me this, and it says, today is Atheist Day. Psalms 14:1 says, the fool have said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. April Fool's Day. All right, Brother Lewis. Ooh. Oh, my goodness. A fool says there is no God. My goodness. I thank God I'm not a fool. I thank God that I know he's alive and well this morning. And I am thankful and grateful unto him. Listen, I'm going to one quick request. And when we come back, we are coming back with 2 Kings. And I was looking, and this come up. No need to worry about your enemies here. Because God will avenge your enemies. God will take the crown from them and give it to you. Have you heard the first will be last and the last will be first? Have you ever heard that? Yeah. No need to worry about the enemies today. Put them in the hands of the Lord. Pray for them and walk away. You got to love them in spite of you. Now, just because you love them, you don't have to associate. You don't have to go to their house every day. You don't have to go to their job. How you doing? You don't have to do any of that. You can love them right where they are and right where you are and keep the distance. Yeah. the people back in the day, the older people taught us, you feed them with a long-handled spoon. That's what they told us. Yeah. And so we thank God this morning. And we go under this one request. And when we come back, we are coming back with our scripture of the day.
I started out working on the building a long, long time ago. I turned around in a world of sin. I didn't work on the building anymore. I was lost in the heart of the wilderness. I was standing at the crossing of the road. I heard a voice speak soft and low, telling me which way to go. And he said, it's time to go back home, child. It's time to go back home. You've been wandering in the wilderness much too long. It's time to go back home. I wandered here, I wandered there. Months and years have passed. I had plenty of friends all the time. The life I lived was fast. When trouble came around me, all of my friends were gone. But I heard the same voice speaking in my ear, telling me to go back home. He said, it's time to go back home, child. It's time to go back home. You've been wandering in the wilderness much too long. It's time to go back home. I finally did what the voice said. I turned and took my place. I worked in back, singing in the choir, God's amazing grace. I know Jesus, he loves me so. And this is how I know. That same voice speaking to me, telling me the way to go. And he said, it's time to go back home, child. It's time to go back home. Been wandering in the wilderness much too long. It's time to go back home.
In the wilderness way too long. It is time to go back to God. Yeah. Many left him for the new way, new age stuff. They left God to get more stuff, more things. They left God so they can have a better job. They can have friends, you know, new friends and all this kind of stuff. But it's time to go back home. April 1st, 2022. If you left God, it's time to go back. And a lot of times we still are praying, we still going to church, we still doing things that we feel are godly, but it's time to go back home. It's time to take a deep self-inventory and see if we left God in any way. If I got him over here, but I left him over there, it's time to put it together and come wholly and boldly to God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So today we are talking about the book of 2 Kings. And we read yesterday and we got to see a lot of things that went on. And even we got to see yesterday how Elijah and Elisha, how these two men of God, they did not play the radio. These two men, if you came against them, said something against them, they went ahead and got with you right there. Even children I saw yesterday. I said, my goodness, yeah. They came out and called him bald head. And I think it was the bear come out the woods and ate about 42 of them up right quick. I was like, my goodness, look at this. Yeah, those guys did not play. And whatever God told them to do, they believed it. And this is what they did. And so I thank God this morning that he can use men. He can use women. He can use children. He can use a donkey, a chicken, a whale. He can use anything. Yeah, because he made it. It's his. And a lot of times we think, you know, I'm myself and I belong to me. And ain't no man going to tell me what to do. I done said that before, but I learned to say this. Nobody will control me. I'm controlled by the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I'm controlled by the Spirit of God. Yeah. Children, these my children. I'm guilty of saying it too. Have thought it. But the Lord let me know you gave them to me. They belong to me. You was the best I used to bring them forth. And if you want me to do something for them, you ask me. But they are mine. And a lot of things you see happening to them, a lot of things you see going on with them, it have nothing to do with you back up. Because many times we raise our children the best that we can. And we think they're going to have a heart like we have and a mind. No, ma'am and no, sir. And sometimes a mother thinking, you know, she's got a good heart and a strong mind, and she desired to do the right things. And because these my children, they're going to follow my lead. No, it was two of y'all. Remember that other side. That other side that helped you to bring this child into the world. Sometimes you're going to see that side in your children. Woo! And I tell you, it can be hurting. Because you're like, I know that's not my side. That's not me right there. Uh-huh. But we pray for them and keep it moving. David never expected for Solomon to cut the food. He never expected for Solomon to love all of these strange women that was not of their God, who was even not of his nationality. Because he knew if he went outside his race, they wouldn't serve the same God. Some would burn incense. Some would worship skulls and statues and all kind of stuff. He gave him a good word before he left here. But Solomon couldn't hang on. So it started a domino effect with the kings of Israel and Judah. So we look at 2 Kings, and we look at chapter 9 starting in verse 1. This is where we left off yesterday. And this is what it says. I'm reading the basic English Bible. And I have King James Version on the other side to make sure, you know, it's the same thing, because they have so many Bibles now, even you'll get tricked. You think it's God is saying one thing in the Bible, but it's not that. And people take all kind of books and make Bibles. I used to sell a book called The Whiskey Bible. Yes, I did on eBay. And some people saw it in person. They was like, let me get one of them books, Whiskey Bible, because they drank a lot. And they wanted to see what it was that, you know, was true about whiskey. Because the Word of God, the Bible, is supposed to tell you the truth. Hallelujah. It's just whether or not you can believe what he said in his Word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let's read chapter 9, starting at verse 1. And Elisha the prophet sent for one of the sons of the prophets and said to him, make yourself ready for a journey and take this bottle of oil in your hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. Now remember, the sons of the prophet wasn't necessarily that their fathers, their biological fathers or daddies were prophets, but they set up under a group of prophets. Yeah. And they served these prophets. They had what you call a guild. And they was a part of this group. And one would die and another one would take its place, but these young men and older men set up under them. So he told the sons of the prophets, you know, to make yourself ready for a journey and take this bottle of oil in your hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when you get there, go in search of Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him get up from among his brothers and take him to an inner room. So he told him, look, go over there and get Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and take him aside in a room by himself. Take the bottle and put the oil on his head and say, the Lord says, I have put the holy oil on you to make you king over Israel. Then opening the door, go in flight without waiting. Now, once you anoint him with this oil, take off. Don't stay. I mean, get the running on from over there now. Don't tarry. Don't wait no minutes longer. Once it's done, get up out of there. And see, a lot of times that's what we do. God sent us to do one thing. And once it's done, get on. But we stay. We get comfortable. We done stayed too long. Then trouble start coming our way. Because we didn't do what God said and leave. Yeah. Verse 4 says, so the young prophet went to Ramoth Gilead. And when he came, he saw the captains of the army seated together. And he said, I have something to say to you, O captain. And Jehu said, to which of us? And he said, to you, O captain. Oh, yeah, trying to be smart now. About to be blessed and crazy, see. And he got up and went into the house. Then he put the holy oil on his head and said to him, the Lord, the God of Israel says, I have made you king over the people of the Lord over Israel. Yeah, Jehu didn't even know what was going on. You are to see that the family of Ahab, your master, is cut off so that I may take from Jezebel payment for the blood of my servants, the prophets, and for the blood of all the servants of the Lord. Boy, let me tell you, don't do evil, because payment is coming. It may be years, but payment is coming. This is why we don't have to worry about enemies. Vengeance is the Lord. Yeah, he even said this, let the wheat and the tare grow together, and the day of harvest I'll do to separate. Yeah, don't worry about your enemies. I will make the family of Ahab like that of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and Baasha, the son of Ahijah. Ooh. And Jezebel will become food for the dogs in the heritage of Jezreel, and there will be no one to put her body into the earth. Then opening the door, he went in flight. He took off. After he told him what God said, he took off. Said he was going to make Jezebel dog food. And nobody will be there to bury her. Yeah. We look like people getting away with stuff, but God have a mighty sweet way. Then Jehu came out again to the servants of his Lord. And one said to him, is all well? Why did this man, who is off his head, come to you? He said to them, you have knowledge of the man and of his talk. And they said, that is not true. Now give us his story. Then he said, this is what he said to me. The Lord says, I have made you king over Israel. See, some people still didn't believe Elisha was a prophet. They still didn't believe Elisha was a man of God. Well, they did Jesus the same way. He told them, if you don't believe on me, believe for the very sake of the work that you see me do. They still couldn't believe. Yeah, and today we got many like that. God has opened doors, made ways, and they still can't hold on to God. As soon as something come up, they call in Sarah, they call everybody but God. But we must remember God. Verse 14 says, so Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, made designs against Joram. Now Joram and all the army of Israel were keeping watch on Ramoth Gilead because of Hazael, king of Aram. Remember him? But King Joram had gone back to Jezreel to get well from the wounds which the Aramans had given him when he was fighting against Hazael, king of Aram. And Jehu said, if this is your purpose, then let no one get away and go out of the town to give news of it in Jezreel. So Ahu got into his carriage and went to Jezreel, for Joram was ill in bed there. And Ahaziah, king of Judah, had come down to see Joram. And the watchman on the tower in Jezreel saw Jehu and his band coming and said, I see a band of people. And Joram said, send out a horseman to them and let him say, is it peace? So a horseman went out to them and said, the king says, is it peace? And Jehu said, what have we to do with peace? Come after me. And the watchman gave them word, saying the horseman went up to them, but has not come back. Oh my goodness. Then he sent out a second horseman who came up to them and said, the king says, is it peace? And Jehu said in answer, what have you to do with peace? Come after me. And the watchman gave them word, saying, he went up to them and has not come back again. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, son of Nimshi. For he is driving violently. Ooh, he coming. Then Joram said, make ready. So they made his carriage ready. And Joram, king of Israel, with Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out in their carriages for the purpose of meeting Jehu. And they came face to face with him at the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now when Joram saw Jehu, he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he said in answer, what peace is possible while all the land is full of the disgusting sins of your mother Jezebel and her secret arts? Oh, here it come. Here it come. Then Joram, turning his horse in flight, said to Ahaziah, broken face, O Ahaziah. Then Jehu took his bow in his hand and with all his strength sent an arrow, wounding Joram between the arms. And the arrow came out at his heart. And he went down on his face in his carriage. Oh, he got the word and he went to do it. He went to do what the word said. You're going to take care of Jezebel and them and all that foolishness they had going on over there. Then Jehu said to Bidak, his captain, take him up and put him in the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. But is not that day in your memory when you and I together on our horses were going after Ahab, his father, and the Lord put his fate on him, saying, I saw the blood of Naboth and of his sons yesterday, and I will give you full payment in this field, says the Lord. So now take him and put him in this field, as the Lord said. I say God will avenge your enemy. Don't take vengeance in your own hand. Don't worry about this. Let it go. And that's what we have a problem with, letting go so God can. Yeah. 27 says, now when Ahaziah, king of Judah, saw this, he went in flight by the way of the garden house. And Jehu came after him and said, put him to death in the same way. And they gave him a death wound in his carriage on the slope up to Gur by Abin. And he went in flight to Megiddo, I'm sorry, Megiddo, where death came to him. And his servants took him in a carriage to Jerusalem and put him into the earth with his fathers in the town of David. Killed him just like Elisha sent the prophet boy over there to tell him that's what happened. In the 11th year of the rule of Jehoram, the son of Ahab, Ahaziah became king over Judah. And when Jehu came to Jezreel, Jezebel had news of it, and painting her eyes and dressing her hair with ornaments, she put her head out of the window. And when Jehu was coming into the town, she said, "Is all well, O Zimri, taker of your master's wife?" Then looking up to the window, he said, "Who is on my side? Who?" And two or three unsexed servants put out their heads. And he said, "Take her and put her out of the window." So they sent her down with force, and her blood went in a shower on the wall and on the horses, and she was crushed under their feet. Ooh. And it came in and took food. And drank. No, and he came in and took food and drank. Then he said, "Now see to this cursed woman and put her body into the earth, for she is a king's daughter." And they went out to put her body into the earth, but nothing of her was to be seen, only the bones of her head and her feet and parts of her hand. So they came back and gave him word of it. And he said, "This is what the Lord said by his servant Elijah, the Tishbite, saying, in the heritage of Jezreel, the flesh of Jezebel will become food for dogs. And the dead body of Jezebel will be like waste, dropped on the face of the earth in the heritage of Jezreel, so that they will not be able to say, this is Jezebel." Look at this here. Oh, Lord, I thank you. I serve you today. How many glad we serve God and not the devil. We serve God and we don't want nothing to do with witchcraft. We serve God and we're not looking for two-headed people. We serve God and we're not looking for devil worshipers. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Look, she became dog food. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Louis. Said the internet crashed over there. Are you back, Brother Louis? Let me see. Well, he got to be back because I see him posting the scriptures. Yes, goodness, yes, yes, yes. He told him what would happen to Jezebel. And that is what happened. She became dog food. Yeah. In chapter 10 and verse 1, it says this: "Now there were in Samaria 70 of Ahab's sons. And Jehu sent letters to Samaria, to the rulers of the town, and to the responsible men, and to those who had the care of the sons of Ahab, saying, straight away, when you get this letter, seeing that your master's sons are with you, and that you have carriages and horses, and a walled town and arms, take the best and most upright of your master's son and make him king in his father's place, and put up a fight for your master's family. But they were full of fear and said, the two kings have gone down before him. How may we keep our place? So the controller of the king's house with the ruler of the town and the responsible men and those who had the care of Ahab's sons sent to Jehu, saying, we are your servants and will do all your orders. We will not make any man king. Do whatever seems best to you. Then he sent them a second letter saying, if you are on my side and if you will do my orders, come to me at Jezreel by this time tomorrow with the heads of your master's sons. Ooh. Now the king's 70 sons were with the great men of the town who had the care of them. And when the letter came to them, they took the king's sons and put them to death, all the 70, and put their heads in baskets and sent them to him at Jezreel. Do you hear that? Cut the 70 sons of Ahab's head off, put it in baskets, and sent it to Jezreel. Verse 8 says, and a man came and said to him, they have come with the heads of the king's sons. And he said, put them down in two masses at the doorway of the town till the morning. And in the morning he went out and stopping, said to all the people there, you are upright men. It is true that I made designs against my master and put him to death. But who is responsible for the death of all these? You may be certain that nothing which the Lord has said about the family of Ahab will be without effect, for the Lord has done what he said by his servant Elijah. Oh, yeah. So Jehu put to death all the rest of the seed of Ahab in Jezreel, and all his relations and his near friends and his priests, that there were no more of them. Wipe them out. That's what God told Elijah to go let them know. Send that boy over there and tell him. Send the son of the prophet, Elijah, and tell him now this is what I'm going to do. And God did exactly what Elijah said he would do. Then he got up and came to Samaria, and he was at the meeting place of the keepers of sheep by the way. When he came across the brothers of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, who are you? And they said, we are the brothers of Ahaziah, king of Judah. We are going down to see the children of the king and of the queen. Uh-oh. And he said, take them living. So they took them living and put them to death in the water hole of Beth-Eked. Of the 42 men, he put every one to death. Or he wiped them out. And when he had gone away from there, he came across Jehonadab, the son of Rechab. And he said, good day to him, and said to him, is your heart true to mine, as mine is to yours? And Jehonadab in answer said, it is. And Jehu said, if it is, give me your hand. And he gave him his hand, and he made him come up into his carriage. And he said, come with me and see how I am on fire for the Lord's cause. So he made him go with him in his carriage. And when he came to Samaria, he put to death all those of Ahab's family who were still in Samaria, till there were no more of them, as the Lord had said to Elijah. Then Jehu got all the people together and said to them, Ahab was Baal's servant in a small way, but Jehu will be the servant on a great scale. Now send for all the prophets of Baal and all his servants and all his priests to come to me. Let no one keep away, for I have a great offering to make to Baal. Anyone who is not present will be put to death. This Jehu did with deceit, his purpose being the destruction of the servants of Baal. Yeah, he told them he would kill them if they didn't come. No, he was calling them to kill them. I believe that. In verse 20 it says, and Jehu said, let there be a special holy meeting for the worship of Baal. So a public statement was made. And Jehu sent out through all Israel, and all the servants of Baal came. Not one kept away, and they came into the house of Baal, so that it was full from end to end. And Jehu said to him, who kept the robes? Get out robes for all the servants of Baal. So he got out robes for them. And Jehu with Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, went into the house of Baal. And he said to the servants of Baal, make a search with care to see that no servant of the Lord is with you, but only servants of Baal. Then they went to make offerings and burnt offerings. Now Jehu had put 80 men outside and said to them, if any man whom I give into your hands get away, the life of him who lets him go will be the price of his life. My goodness. Woo, that Jehu is not playing about the word that God sent to him, about the work that he had to do unto the Lord. 25 says, then when the burnt offering was ended, straightway Jehu said to the armed men and the captain, go in and put them to death. Let not one come out. So they put them to the sword and pulling the images to the earth. They went into the holy place of the house of Baal, and they took out the image of Asherah from the house of Baal and had it burned. The altar of Baal was pulled down, and the house of Baal was broken up and made an unclean place as it is to this day. Yeah, they say it's an unclean place where the house of Baal was. Jehu went in there and tore it up, killed all of them, and destroyed the temple of Baal. Oh, yeah. So Jehu put an end to the worship of Baal in Israel. But Jehu did not keep himself from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and the evil he made Israel do. The golden oxen were still in Bethel and in Dan. And the Lord said to Jehu, because you have done well in doing what is right in my eyes and affecting all my purpose for the family of Ahab, your sons will be kings of Israel to the fourth generation. Oh, yeah. But Jehu did not take care to keep the law of the Lord with all his heart. He did not keep himself from the sin which Jeroboam did and made Israel do. In those days, the Lord was angry, first with Israel, and Hazael made a tax on all the land of Israel, east of Jordan, in all the land of Gilead. The Gadites and the Reubenites and the Manassites from Aroah by the valley of Arnon, all Gilead and Bashan. Now the rest of the acts of Jehu and all he did and his great power, are they not recorded in the books of the history of the kings of Israel? And Jehu went to rest with his fathers and was put into the earth in Samaria. And Jehoahaz, his son, became king in his place. And the time of Jehu's rule over Israel and Samaria was 28 years. When I tell you, if he could have turned all that other stuff loose, he would have been blessed. Because, I mean, he did what God said to the letter. Killed them all. Everything that had to do. As Jerry said, it was rougher than the gut. My goodness. Lord, help us today that we're not disobedient. And that God, you would send some in to take us out of here. But Lord, help us to obey you to the letter and stand strong and firm in you. Strengthen us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're looking at chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Now, when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she had all the rest of the seed of the kingdom put to death. Are you listening? I don't know if y'all, any of y'all ever watched, Shaka Zulu. Whenever one of them died, especially like a queen or something like that, they kill people or injured them and throw them in the grave with them. Do y'all remember that? So when his mother, Athaliah, saw that her son was dead, Ahaziah, she had all the rest of the seed of the kingdom put to death. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, secretly took Jehosh, the son of Ahaziah, with the women who took care of him away from among the king's sons who were put to death and put him in the bedroom. And they kept him safe from Athaliah so that he was not put to death. And for 6 years she kept him safe in the house of the Lord, while Athaliah was ruling over the land. Then in the 7th year, Jehoshadiah sent for the captains of hundreds of the carrion and the armed men, and taking them into the house of the Lord, made an agreement with them, and made them take an oath in the house of the Lord, and let them see the king's son. And he gave them order, saying, this is what you are to do. The third part of you who come in on the Sabbath and keep the watch of the king's house. Now there is no verse 6 there. No verse 6. So verse 7 says, and the two divisions of you who go out on the Sabbath and keep the watch of the house of the Lord will make a circle around the king, every man being armed, and whoever comes inside your line is to be put to death. Keep with the king when he goes out and when he comes in. And the captains of hundreds did as Jehoshadiah, the priest, gave them orders. Everyone took with him his men, those who came in and those who went out on the Sabbath. And they came in to Jehoshadiah, the priest. And the priest gave to the captains of hundreds the spears and body covers which had been King David's and which were kept in the house of the Lord. Then the armed men took up their positions, every man with his instruments of war in his hand. And the right side of the house to the left, round about the altar and the house. Then he made the king's son come out and put the crown on him and the armband, and made him king, and put the holy oil on him. And they all, making sounds of joy with their hands, said, long life to the king. And Athaliah, hearing the noise made by the people, came to the people in the house of the Lord. And looking, she saw the king in his regular place by the pillar, and the captains and the horns near him, and all the people of the land giving signs of joy and sounding the horn. Then Athaliah, violently parting her robe, gave a cry, saying, broken faith, broken faith. Then Jehoshadiah, the priest, gave orders to those who were placed in authority over the army, saying, take her outside the lines, and let anyone who goes after her be put to death with the sword. But he said, let her be put to death in the house of the Lord. My goodness. So they put their hands on her, and she went to the king's house by the doorway of the horses. And there she was put to death. And Jehoshadiah made an agreement between the Lord and the king and the people, that they would be the Lord's people, and in the same way between the king and the people. Then all the people of the land went to the house of Baal and had it pulled down. Its altars and images were all broken to bits. And Mattan, the priest of Baal, they put to death before the altars. And the priest put overseers over the Lord's house. Then he took the captains of hundreds and the carrions and the armed men and all the people of the land, and they came down with the king from the house of the Lord, through the doorway of the armed men, to the king's house. And he took his place on the seat of the king. So all the people of the land were glad, and the town was quiet. And they had put Athaliah to death with the sword at the king's house. And Jehoshaphat was 7 years old when he became king. 7 years old. Oh, and he became king. My goodness, my goodness. But they had to get rid of Athaliah. She had to go. Yeah. So we're at verse 12. We're at verse 12. And starting at verse 1. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break and we'll come back to verse 12. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I tell you God does not play games, he doesn't, and say what he mean and mean what he say, won't take it back. He's not confused. You don't have to worry about your enemies today. God have it all under control. I know it looked like they're getting away with bloody murder. Oh, but don't you worry. That awful day for them is surely coming. Hallelujah. You just keep being faithful. You just keep your head up to God and keep walking upright before Him. You keep the faith. You keep trusting God. You keep doing what's right. Oh, yeah, that awful day for them will surely come. And sometimes when it comes, we feel bad for them, but there's nothing we can do. Yeah, because their needs is paying them. Oh, yeah. So listen, we're going to this.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never failed me. In all my days, I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Woo! 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. Woo! And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am making, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice.
Hey.
You have led me through fire. In darkest night, you were close like no other. I know you as a father. I know you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God.
Been so, so good.
give him praise all over the room for his mercy. I thank you, Lord, that in Psalms 23:6, it says, surely your goodness and your mercy would chase after me all the days of my life. Come on, if you're grateful that his goodness and his mercy never stop chasing you, never stop pursuing you. The Message translation says the very beauty and love of Jesus has pursued you. How many of y'all are grateful today that his beauty and his love has never stopped chasing you? Come on, one more time. If you are grateful for everything he's been, everything he said he would do, and that his promises are yes and amen today, give him another massive praise in here, Relentless Church.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, his goodness and his mercy and his grace is chasing after me. Yeah, because I love him today, and I know he loved me. And no matter what come my way, he's on the side, and he always make a way where I see no way. So I'm grateful unto him. So we're looking at verse 12 of 2 Kings. And in the first verse, it starts like this. In the seventh year of Jehu's reign, Jehosh became king. And he was ruling for 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibah of Beersheba. Jehosh had what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the days, because he was guided by the teaching of Jehozadiah, the priest. But the high places were not taken away. The people went on making offerings and burning them in the high places. And Jehosh said to the priest, and all the money of the holy things which comes into the house of the Lord, the amount fixed for every man's payment, and all the money given by any man freely from the impulse of his heart, let the priest take every man from his friends and neighbors and make good what is damaged in the house, wherever it is to be seen. But in the 23rd year of King Jehosh, the priest had not made good the damaged parts of the house. Now, how many times we know about this? They done had the building fund at the church, but nothing was never built. How many times did them raise money to do repairs in the church, but the repairs was never made? But in 23 years, in the 23rd year, the priest had not made good the damaged parts of the house. 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 6. Verse 7 says, then King Jehosh sent for Jehoiada, the priest, and the other priests, and said to them, why have you not made good what is damaged in the house? Now take no more money from your neighbors, but give it for the building up of the house. 23 years, why y'all ain't made no repairs on the house of the Lord? Don't take no more money. Yeah. Now, I was being fair to y'all, and I give it all to the house. So the priest made an agreement to take no more money from the people and not to make good what was damaged in the house. But Jehoiada, the priest, took a chest and making a hole in the cover of it, put it by the altar on the right side when one comes into the house of the Lord. And the priest who kept the door put in it regularly all the money which was taken into the house of the Lord. I know y'all seen them little boxes with the little holes cut in the top at the church. And people drop their tithes and offering, a love offering, or whatever they want to drop in the box. Yeah. So, and when they saw that there was much money in the chest, the king's scribes and the high priest came and put it in bags, noting the amount of all the money there was in the house of the Lord. And the money which was measured out, they gave regularly to those who were responsible for overseeing the work. And these gave it in payment to the woodworkers and the builders who were working on the house of the Lord. So now they started paying people to do the work on the house of the Lord. And to the wall builders and the stone cutters and to get wood and cut stone for building up the broken parts of the house of the Lord. And for everything needed to put the house in good order. But the money was not used for making silver cups or scissors or basins or wind instruments or any vessels of gold or silver for the house of the Lord. But it was all given to the workmen who were building up the house. And they did not get any statement of accounts from the men to whom the money was given for the workmen. But they made use of it with good faith. The money of the offerings for Aaron and the sin offering was not taken into the house of the Lord. It was the priest. Then Hazael, king of Aram, went up against Gath and took it. And his purpose was to go up to Jerusalem. Then Jehosh, king of Judah, took all the holy things with Jehoshaphat and Jehoram. And Ahaziah, his father, the king of Judah, had given to the Lord together with the things he himself had given, and all the gold in the temple store and in the king's house, and sent it to Hazael, king of Aram, and he went away from Jerusalem. Now the rest of the acts of Jehosh and all he did, are they not recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel? And his servants made a secret design and put Jehosh to death at the house of Millo on the way down to Selah. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Shimeath, and Jehozadad, the son of Shomer, his servants came to him and put him to death. And they put him into the earth with his fathers in the town of David. And Amaziah, his son, became king in this place. Now, each one of these kings had a job to do. Each one of them did something. But that Jeroboam, ooh-wee, I don't know about that Jeroboam. He was something serious. But each one of them tried. But they just, for some reason, couldn't get it all together because of what Solomon did. Some of it is what even David did. Yeah. So them sins come back on. In chapter 13, starting at verse 1, in the 23rd year of Jehosh, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoahaz, y'all forgive me, the son of Jehu, became king over Israel and Samaria, ruling for 17 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, copying the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he did and made Israel do. He did not keep himself from them. So the wrath of the Lord was burning against Israel, and he gave them up into power of Hazael, king of Aram, and into the power of Benadad, son of Hazael, again and again. Then Jehoahaz made prayer to the Lord, and the Lord gave ear to him, for he saw how cruelly Israel was crushed by the king of Aram. And the Lord gave Israel savior, so that they became free from the hands of the Arameans, and the children of Israel were living in their tents as in the past. But still they did not give up the sin of Jeroboam, which he made Israel do, but went on with it. And there was an image of Asherah in Syria, in Samaria. But out of all of his armies, Jehoahaz had only 50 horsemen and 10 carriages and 10,000 footmen. The king of Aram had given them up to destruction, crushing them like dust. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoahaz and all he did and his great power, are they not recorded in the book of history of the kings of Israel? And Jehoahaz went to rest with his fathers and was put into the earth in Samaria. And Josh, his son, became king in his place. In the 37th year of the rule of Joash, king of Judah, Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, became the king over Israel in Samaria, ruling for 16 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, not turning away from the sin of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he did and made Israel do, but he went on with it. Now the rest of the acts of Joash and all he did and the force with which he went to war against Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel? And Joash went to rest with his fathers, and Jeroboam took his place as king. And Joash was put into the earth in Samaria with the king of Israel. Now Elisha became ill with the disease, which was the cause of his death. And Joash, king of Israel, came down to him and weeping over him said, my father, the war carriages of Israel and his horsemen. Then Elisha said to him, take bow and arrows. And he took bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. And he put his hands on it. And Elisha put his hand on the king's hand. Then he said, let the windows be open to the east. And he got it open. Then Elisha said, let the arrow go. And he let it go. And he said, the Lord's arrow of salvation over Aram. For you will overcome the Aramines in Aphek and put an end to them. And he said, take the arrow. And he took them, and he said to the king of Israel, send them down into the earth. And he did so three times and no more. Then the man of God was angry with him and said, if you had done it five or six times, then you would have overcome Aram completely. But now you will only overcome them three times. And the death came to Elisha, and they put his body in the earth. Now in the spring of the year, armed bands of Moabites frequently came overrunning the land. And while they were putting a dead man into the earth, they saw a band coming, and they put the man quickly into the place where Elijah's body was. And the dead man, on touching Elijah's bone, came to life again and got up on his feet. My goodness. And Israel was crushed under the power of Ahaziah, king of Aram, all the days of Jehoshaphat. But the Lord was kind to them and had pity on them, caring for them because of his agreement with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He would not put them to destruction or send them away from before his face till now. Then Hazael, king of Aram, came to his end, and Ben-Hadad, his son, became king in his place. And Jehosh, the son of Jehoahaz, took again from Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the town which he had taken from Jehoahaz, his father, in war. Three times Jehosh overcame him and got back the town of Israel. He told him if he'd have did it five or six times now, he would have been free of these people, Aram. But he only did it three. So we're looking at verse 14 now. In the second year of Joash, son of Joash, king of Israel, Amaziah, the son of Joash, became the king of Judah. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he was ruling in Jerusalem for 29 years. His mother name was Jehoadin of Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Though not like David his father, he did as Joash's father had done. But still the high places were not taken away. The people went on making offerings and burning them in the high places. Now when he came strong in the kingdom, straightway he put to death those servants who had taken the life of the king, his father. But he did not put their children to death, for the orders of the Lord recorded in the book of the law of Moses say, the fathers are not to be put to death for the children, or the children for their fathers. But a man is to be put to death for the sin which he himself has done. He put to the sword 12,000 men of Edom in the valley of Salt, and took Selah in war, naming it Jokbeel, as it is to this day. Jokbeel, okay. Then Amaziah sent representatives to Jehosh, the son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, come let us have a meeting face to face. And Jehosh, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thorn tree in Lebanon sent to the cedar in Lebanon, saying, give your daughter to my son for a wife, and a beast from the woodland in Lebanon went by, crushing the thorn under his feet. It is true that you have overcome Eden, and your heart is uplifted. Let that glory be enough for you, and keep in your country. Why do you make causes of trouble, putting yourself and Judah with you in danger and downfall? But Amaziah gave no attention. So Jehosh, king of Israel, went up, and he and Amaziah, king of Judah, came face to face at Beth Shemesh, which is in Judah. And Judah was overcome before Israel, so that they went in flight, every man to his tent. And Jehosh, king of Israel, made Amaziah king of Judah, the son of Jehosh, okay. Y'all got to understand, I mean, these some names for me. Son of Amaziah, Ahaziah, prisoner at Beth Shemesh, and came to Jerusalem and had the wall of Jerusalem pulled down from the doorway of Ephraim to the door in the angle 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and silver and all the vessels which were in the house of the Lord and in the storehouse of the king, together with those whose lives would be the price of broken faith, and went back to Samaria. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoash, and his power, and how he went to war with Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel? And Jehoash went to rest with his fathers, and was put into the earth in Samaria with the kings of Israel. And Jeroboam his son became king in his place. Amaziah, the son of Josh, king of Judah, went on living for 15 years after the death of Jehosh, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel. And the rest of the acts of Amaziah, are they not recorded in the books of the history of the kings of Judah? Now they made a secret design against him in Jerusalem. And he went in flight to Lachish. But they sent after him to Lachish to put him to death there. And they took his body on horseback and put it into the earth with his fathers in Jerusalem, the town of David. Then all the people of Judah took Azariah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in place of his father, Amaziah. He was the builder of Elath, which he got back for Judah after the death of the king. In the 15th year of the rule of Amaziah, son of Josh, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Josh, king of Israel, became king in Samaria, ruling for 41 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, not turning away from the sin which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, did and made Israel do. He got back the old limits of Israel from the way in Hamath to the sea of the Araba, as the Lord had said by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet of Gath-Hepher, For the Lord saw how bitter was the trouble of Israel and that everyone was cut off, he who was shut up and he who went free, and that Israel had no helper. And the Lord had not said that the name of Israel was to be taken away from the earth, but he gave them a savior in Jeroboam, the son of Josh. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam and all he did and his power and how he went to war with Damascus, causing the wrath of the Lord to be turned away from Israel, are they not recorded in the books of the history of the kings of Israel? And Jeroboam went to rest with his fathers and was put to the earth, into the earth with the kings of Israel. And Zechariah, his son, became king in his place. All right, I'm going to have to let my boy read a little bit because I think I'm messing these names up. Yes, goodness. Although they're repeating, you know, over and over still. All right, let's see what we get. In the 27th year of the rule of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Azariah, son of Amaziah, became king of Judah. He was 16 years old. We're at 15, chapter 15, and we're down to verse 2. He was 16 years old when he became king, and he was ruling in Jerusalem for 52 years. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father Amaziah had done. But he did not take away the high places, and the people still went on making offerings and burning them in the high places. And the Lord sent disease on the king, and he became a leper. And to the day of his death, he was living separately in his private house. And Jotham, the son, was over his house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Azariah and all he did, are they not recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah? Azariah went to rest with his fathers and was put into the earth with his fathers in the town of David. And Jotham, his son, became king in his place. In the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Zechariah, son of Jeroboam, was king over Israel for 6 months. And he did evil in the eyes of the Lord as his father had done, not turning away from the sin which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, did and made Israel do. And Ashalom, the son of Jabesh, made a secret design against him, and attacking him in Abilene, put him to death and became king in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Zechariah are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. This was what the Lord had said to Jehu, your sons to the fourth generation will be kings of Israel, And so it came about. Shallum, the son of Jabesh, became king in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah. And he was ruling in Samaria for the space of 1 month. Then Menahem, the son of Gadai, went up from Tisra and came to Samaria and attacking Shallum, son of Jabesh, in Samaria. Samaria put him to death and made him king in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Shallum and the secret design which he made are recorded in the books of the history of the kings of Israel. Then Menahem sent destruction on Tapua, and all the people in it and its limits. Then Tezah, because they would not let him come in, and he had all the women who were with child cut up. Oh, goodness. In his 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Menahem, the son of Gedaliah, became king over Israel and was ruling in Samaria for 10 years. He did even the eyes of the Lord. He did not keep himself from the sin which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, did and made Israel do. In his day, Pul, the king of Azariah, came up against the land, and Menahem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver so that he might let him keep the kingdom. And Menahem got the money from Israel, from all the men of wealth, 50 silver shekels from every man, and gave to the king of Azariah. So the king of Azariah went back without stopping in the land. Now the rest of the acts of Menahem and all he did, are they not recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel? And Menahem went to rest with his fathers. And Pekahiah, his son, became king in his place. In the 50th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekahiah, the son of Menahem, became king over Israel and Samaria, ruling for 2 years. He did even the eyes of the Lord, not turning from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, did and made Israel do. And Pekah, the son of Remaliah, his captain, made a secret design against him, attacking him in the king's great house in Samaria. And with him were 50 men of Gilead. And he put him to death and became king in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Pekahiah and all he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. In the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, became king over Israel and Samaria, ruling for 20 years. He did even the eyes of the Lord, not turning from the sins which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, did and made Israel do. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Israel, came and took Ajon and Abel-Beth-Micah and Jonah and Kadesh and Hazar and Gilead and Galilee and all the land of Naphtali. And he took the people away to Israel. And Hoshea, the son of Eli, made a secret design against Pekah, the son of Remaliah, and attacking him, put him to death and became king in his place. In the 20th year of Jotham, the son of Uzziah. Now the rest of the acts of Pekah and all he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. In the 2nd year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, Jotham, the son of Uzziah, became king of Judah. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he was ruling for 16 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father Uzziah had done. But he did not take away the high places, and the people still went on making offerings and burning them in the high places. He was the builder of the higher doorway of the house of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham, and all he did, are they not recorded in the books of the history of the kings of Judah? In those days, the Lord first sent against Judah Rezin, the king of Aram, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah. And Jotham went to rest with his fathers and was put into the earth in the town of David, his father. And Azar, his son, became king in his place. Wow. We almost on that last king. So we're going to stop right here. And 2 Kings 15. So we'll come back with 2 Kings 16 on Monday. And we might just end there, take a break, and bring a good preacher to preach. And then on Tuesday, we resume back to give you a chance to soak this up. I know many may be sleeping on it and different things because it's long. But if you can follow through, go back and look at some things. That Jeroboam was something serious. Go back and find where he started, where he became king. And, you know, just take your time. And look in here. This is important that we know all of the word is. But I believe God led me to 2 Kings. And we need to know these things. And see, each king did different. He did a little stuff, and some of them was out of there. You know, the 7-year-old boy became king. All of this started over there with King Saul. Yeah. Give us a king over in Samuel. We want a king like everybody else got. And they would not take down those high places, burning incense and all this stuff. God was not pleased. Yeah. But it's all right today in the name of Jesus. We want to learn. And that's what the Old Testament was written for, our learning. And we learn what not to do against God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So listen, we're going to one more song in the morning. And when we come back, the studio is open. If there's anyone have something they would like to say, please feel free. It's yet testify Friday. You yet can testify. Hallelujah. Feel free to press that number one and come in. Excuse me. We're going to this one.
Without God, I could do nothing, my Lord. Without Him, I would fail. Without God, my life would be rugged. Oh yeah, just like a ship without a sail. I'm leaning and depending on Jesus, oh my Lord. I am trusting, for I know He can. I'm waiting for my Savior. Oh yeah. Oh, I know He'll drive
I could do nothing, oh my Lord. Without him I would pray. Oh yeah. My life would be rugged. Oh yeah. Just like a ship. Like a ship. Like a ship without, yeah, a sail. Listen. Without a doubt, he is my savior. Yes, he is. He's my strength along life's way. In deep water, yeah, he's my anchor. Oh, yes, he is. Through faith, he'll be my stay. Oh, without God, I could do nothing. Oh my Lord,
without him,
I would fail. My life would be rugged. Oh yes it would.
Like a ship
out on a stormy sea. Nobody but you, Lord.
Like a ship,
my bridge over troubled water.
Like a ship,
when life's storms is tossing me.
Like a ship,
you are God, you are God alone.
Like a ship,
you are my refuge and my strength.
Like a ship,
my help in a time of storm.
Like a ship
without a
sail. Like a ship
without a sail. Hallelujah.
Radio not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I know on some of those names you probably heard a little Spanish in the ending of it. But I speak English. I'm not making excuses. But I got to hear those names, and today I will go back over the 2 Kings 9 through 15 and take a listen to those names so that I can pronounce them correctly. All right, Sister Jared, good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning, Sister Barbara. I am doing very well. How are you doing?
I am good. I am good. Can't be gooder. Good. Can't be better.
Oh, thank you, Lord. First of all, I want to thank you for that opening prayer this morning. You were touching on things that we got to get our faith up. Faith is the things now faith is. The things hope for and the evidence not seen. So thank you for that prayer. Thank you for the reading. See, I couldn't even begin to try to pronounce those names. I was reading along with you, and I was like, whoa. I would have been calling. I would have been calling E and E and H. Right away. No, those names are something else. But it's very interesting, because what I'm trying to understand, why did God kill them, have them killed again?
Which ones was it now?
Well, when he had those people killed, why did God say kill them?
Well, remember Ahab and Jezebel.
Right, I can remember Jezebel, but I know. So because they was descendants, because they came from Jezebel, is why God said kill them?
Well, a lot of them, but because Jezebel had the prophets of God killed.
Oh, yes, Elijah.
No, she told them that she was going to kill Elijah that day.
Right, if I don't do to you what you did to us by this time tomorrow. Okay, I remember reading that. Okay.
But she had the prophets. See, she had, like, I think it was 450 of her own Balaam prophets. And she put out a decree to kill the prophets of God. And she started killing them. Yeah, she started killing them. So God had told her, that she was going to die and the dogs was going to eat her. He made dog food out of Jezebel. Yeah. And Ahab, he died.
That helped me to understand God is very forgiving and he tolerates a lot. I mean, I haven't even been asleep all night because I've been reading on what you were going to talk about today. And I read it all night, and I said, okay, God, you do have a limit. You can just keep on and keep on, and then you'll push God to the limit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I don't want to be Jezebel, although a friend of mine called me a Jezebel, but I'm not a Jezebel because I don't go around killing prophets and things like that. And I like the idea that God sent Elijah to the brook. He could have sent him to the ocean where there was a lot of water, but he only sent him to the brook and had the ravens feed him. But ravens don't usually feed people. They take from people, you know? And the brook is so tiny, but I guess that's because God didn't want him to stay there all that time, right?
Well, yeah, but when he sent him over to the brook, he told him to hide himself, too. Hide himself.
Oh,
over
He did. He said, hide yourself.
I heard a preacher say this, Jerry. Say that the king had good food on the table and said that the ravens went in through the window and got the food off the king's table and brought it and fed Elijah. But now I didn't find
that
in the
that's
world.
That's what I was saying. My pastor, a bishop, preached that one time, and he said, even when your enemies try to give you their worst, God will still give you their best. And so I found that very interesting that the raven fed him, and God sent him to a tiny brook. But in my mind, he sent him to the tiny brook because sometimes we can't handle, my hands raised up in the air, we can't handle too much if God give us too much. I mean, I'm a miscalculation of money. I mean, I probably couldn't handle it if God gave me $100,000 right now. I'd probably be broke by the end of the week. Because my mind would say, I better call sister such and such and see if they need some money. And let me call brother XYZ and see if he needs some money. I'd just probably be on the cash app all day just cashing out. So I've noticed God has been giving me little so I don't get carried away with too much. Because at one time, God had paid off all my bills. But then I turned around, and out of nowhere, within 2 years, I'm back in debt. Why? Because everybody had a problem, and they was telling me this. And, you know, But this go round, I ask God, let me hear you tell me when to give and when not to give. So I'm in the grooming stages of when and when not. If God don't tell me to give, Barbara, I just can't do it. But I will always pay my tithes and offerings.
Yeah, we learn. And what I've learned, Jerry, I learned to make a list of things I have to pay. I also try not to rush to spend money, because sometimes when we haven't had money for a while, say a month, then what happens is when we get money, we already have things in mind to spend the money on. So we kind of rush to, you know, to spend the money. But if we take our time, take your time. And, you know, pray too.
I prayed all night, and God gave me the list this morning, and I wrote down what he said do with the list.
Okay.
And then I said, well, God, what about this leftover? He said, I'm going to teach you how to pay off those credit cards with big lump sum of money.
Okay.
Some things going to be cut back, Jerry, as long as you pay your tithes and offers. And just because someone call you and say they got a gas, that don't mean you fool to fill up their tank. So I'm in the process of God teaching me how, when, and where. But yes, Barbara, I truly appreciate you breaking these things down to me. It's not that I wasn't paying attention. I was just trying to understand. Jezebel was kind of bad. Yes, she was. Because she would call down fire and God called down the rain. So it's very interesting. Now I understand why that person called me a Jezebel, but I'm not a Jezebel. Oh, no. I'm not a killer. I respect the prophet.
Yeah, she
so I just
prophet.
Want to say thank you. Thank you, Barbara, for your ending song that you just played. That was a very nice song. I don't know who sung it, but I want to, if you would text me that later on, because I'm going to listen to that. Because I am a ship without a sail. I go in the wrong direction, Barbara. I really do. I get so carried away, and then when I'm handling the money, I get all nervous, you know? Very nervous. But then when I take time out and let God write the list out for me, I'm doing much better. So this is the month. God told me I'm going to pay one bill off a month. I don't care how much they're ringing me to death, one bill off a month. And before I know it, I'll have three credit cards paid off. So thank you, Barbara, for breaking it down to me. I was reading along with you. When you were trying to say the names, I was trying to say them too. Like, ooh, I'm glad I am not this one reading this. I can read, but not this. Those names in there is just woo. But the concept of it is they may be called Peter, Paul, and John, but pay attention what happens when you do evil upon the Lord. That's what I'm enjoying that concept of it. Okay, we murdering the names. I apologize, Lord. But then I can go back and play that on my phone, and it'll pronounce the names to me, and I'm going to let it sink in some more. But I was just trying to understand, God, what was so bad about Jezebel again? But now I understand it. Just like when you get blood on your hands, that's not of God. So thank you for your time today. And woman of God, I thank God for you getting up, sacrificing your time, reading to us to help us understand. Thank you so much. For me and my house, we are very grateful to you. For real. Gavin and I. Because he said, when you said that Jezebel. He went in there and made him a song out of Jezebel, Jezebel, Jezebel. You know, you gotta know Calvin, he don't really talk, but he made him a song out of Jezebel. I'm like, oh Lord.
Yeah, so Jezebel became dog food. I guess Calvin said, my goodness, Jezebel, I got to think about you, girl. Yeah, but yeah, she killed them prophets and had all kind of foolishness going on. And Ahab married her. Mm-hmm. And he was a member of that Israel tribe, if I'm not mistaken. And you done married Jezebel? Oh, my goodness, Ahab. But anyway,
the most shocking thing is when they put a seven-year-old to be the king. That would be like me telling my little grandson, he's 7 years old, okay, now you the king. You tell everybody what to do. What?
Oh, good. Yeah.
He barely knows how to write.
Okay. Yeah, they had a lot of stuff going on back then, but see, this is what happened. David and Solomon started the foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
And David got it right with the Lord now. He repented, and he was godly sorry,
yes.
And he got it right. But that son of his, Solomon, come along, and Solomon just couldn't let it go. And God told him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you knew the voice of the Lord. You knew God had come to talk to you about being wise because you asked for it. You knew God had come to talk to you about being rich because you asked for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you let the wisdom of man and the riches cause you to lose your mind and lose all and refuse to stay with God. Now you out here burning incense. Now you out here running to the root worker.
Well, you know, take a look at the world today. Once some people get a lot of money, they lose their mind.
Well, that's true.
We can't do it in private and say, hey, man, you know what, blah, 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 blah. You do it so you can get more ratings and maybe some more money.
Well, that's true. That is true.
We are driven by that money. That's why I know I'm a cheerful giver because I say, you know what, this is paper. Why will I bow down and worship this paper?
Mm-hmm.
When God's got a great way of giving me stuff, even when I don't even have any money, Barbara, you know what I'm talking about.
I know.
So I cannot get conformed to loving this money so good to I'm going to walk up on stage and knock somebody in the face. Really?
That's the devil. We know if you serve him, you're going to obey him. That's what I know. If you're his, you're going to do what he says. That's what I know. But look, Sister Jerry, I got one more caller, and then Sister Samoa is going to
read. Thank you.
Okay, God bless you. God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Pastor David. God bless you. How are you?
Good. I'm good this morning. Good morning. I was just sitting and listening to you read this morning, and, you know, we tend to allow things. We don't look at the generational things, and if we pay attention to what in the Second Kings is saying, it's showing that through generational actions and the actions that we display as individuals can carry on for generations. And that's exactly what occurred with these kings, is no matter how young, and they showed it that, you know, you heard, you know, there were ones that from 7 to 25 or 29 that became kings, but they all at some point reverted to allowing idol worship in the kingdom, which is what God did not want. And, you know, we have to look back and ask, what are we allowing in our homes? And whether it's in our physical body or in our physical house, what are we allowing that's not in line with what God says? You say it all the time, get in line with God. Get your homes in line with God. Get your life in line with God, And that's exactly what they're saying. Because whether we believe it or not, the people that surrounds us, our children, our family members, if we're professing that we're children of God and we're serving God, then our actions should reflect just that. And if it's not, then what are they seeing? What are they thinking is okay to do that they shouldn't be doing? And that's what these kings did. They allowed others to carry on doing things that they shouldn't. So at some point, the others that came behind them got comfortable and felt like it was okay to allow it. When if we listen to God and hear him, he says, "We'll have no other gods but me. I'm a jealous God." But we ignore that. So what legacy are we leaving? You know? And we just have to do what's right. You know? And not worry about how others are going to think. Because as long as we're pleasing God, that's all that matters.
Amen.
So I just wanted to interject that this morning.
Amen. All right, Sister Samoa, I'm coming at you right now. And good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh, we can hear you.
You can hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Good morning. How are you doing today? Give me 1 second, okay?
Okay.
Ready?
Uh-huh, I'm ready.
Don't you dare walk away from me. And don't tell me you're sorry. And don't tell me to forget it. And don't you dare tell me to let it go. God knows I'd like to. I wish I could, but I can't. I can't forget what we had. And you're running away. You're running away. Don't you see? You're running away from what I've searched for all of my life. Why? Because you're scared? Well, I'm scared too. But you and I, we have something worth fighting for. And we can make it work. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I care about you. And I know deep down under this bravado, you care about me. And that's what it's all about. Don't you get it? It's the human experience. You can pretend all you want, but you're only lying to yourself. You're denying the simple and wonderful fact that you are emotional and vulnerable and alive. Can you honestly stand there and tell me that I mean nothing to you? That everything that happened that night was a lie? That you feel nothing? I'll move on. I'll find someone else, and I'll be all right, because I will know that I tried, that I did everything I could. But someday, you'll look back, and you'll realize what you threw away, and you'll regret it always. Bye.
That's what she called me with one day. And I was thinking, what's wrong? I'm like, she going through. She let me hear her conversation. Come to find out it was her acting. And I thought it was so real, I could not believe it. And then after she finished, she started laughing. And she said, "What you think, Miss Barbara?" I was like, oh, my goodness. I thought it was real. I thought this was actually happening with you right then and there. So I had asked her if she would come and do this one for us. And, you know, see if you felt the same way I felt. See if you thought it was real. But maybe, you know, because I warned you, you may not, you know, you may have known. But had I not warned you, you never would have known this wasn't real. But this is a skit. What they call it? What they call it, Sister Samoa, when they give you your line to read?
This is a script or a monologue.
Yeah, a script or monologue. You're right. There you go. Yeah. So I wanted her to read that for you to show you what she's got, you know, with the acting career and everything. But I thank God for you, Pastor David, And I thank God for your words of encouragement, because that's so true. And this is what we have to do. We got to draw near to him, because generation after generation, when I lived in the project, you know, I still wasn't talking. And they would say things like, well, my grandmama was in here first. My grandmama stayed here 40 years in the project. And I'm like, wow. I'm a mute your mic, Sister Samoa. You know, my granny stayed here for 40 years. I'm going to stay here for 40. And I'm going to raise my children. Well, what I'm thinking is this. That's a generational curse. Because if all you ever had for 40 years was the project, and your daughter repeat the same thing. She have a baby at 15, and she live in the project. Never married nobody. Had more children. Children didn't have the same father. All kind of stuff. For 40 more years, then those daughters that you had, they repeat the same history. That's a generational curse. Somebody should want to get up and do different. Somebody should go to college and get an educated and educate their daughters and go back to their siblings, their sisters, and educate them. Yeah. There's some other stuff. My dad, he was a pedophile. This son is a pedophile. His son is a pedophile. His grandson, great-great-grandson, and it just go on. So somebody got to break it. Somebody got to come to God and pray. Somebody got to come to God and fast. Somebody got to come to God and bind up. Yeah, somebody got to come to God and ask him to break that chain right there. That's been going on in our family for histories, for years, for generations. We want it stopped. And as Pastor David said, that's what happened with these kings. And that one, that Jeroboam, the other ones, they did exactly what he did. They would do a few things that God said and they were supposed to do, but then they kept the rest of it. What Jeroboam left in place, the high places, the altars, and burning this and burning that, not the sacrifices of God, but basically the sacrifices of Baal, of yourself, of your flesh. That's what you up there burning. You ain't put no goat, no sheep on the altar, or no, what they call it, dove or nothing like that. You putting squirrels and skunks, and it's no telling what else. And it wasn't a sweet-smelling savor unto God. Burning incense and all of that. Yeah. People going today, you know, to the two-headed people, they call them the root worker, the voodoo people and all of that getting stuff. God told them to put them books away and don't burn no more incense. It stink in his nostril. Don't bring no more sacrifices to me like that. I use water. I use oil. But most time, I use the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something. You're talking about some power. It's power in that name. It's more power in the name of Jesus than any oil you can buy and take it to somebody saying you want it blessed. Yeah. So sometimes you're in a place where you don't have no oil. What you going to use? You don't have no water. What you going to use? Use that name of Jesus. More powerful than anything I know. His name is even a place where the righteous can run in and be saved. We could call on the name of Jesus. It would defeat any spirit coming your way or uncome your way. Yeah. So we just thank God today that we're learning about these kings. And we're learning about our families, and we're learning about what we do not want to do and refuse to do it. We can't bow down to any other God than our God, Jehovah. Yeah. Because I tell you, ugly payment come when you bow down to other gods. Good morning, Apostle. God bless you this morning. Yeah. When we bow down to other gods, terrible things happen. Thank you, Brother Louis. The brook was fresh water. The ocean was salt water. Yeah. So we just looking and seeking God through his word and seeking to know more about his word, Lord, what you said. And I look back and I remember that I saw in there about how they have the little box, the little tithe box up by the offering. I mean, up by the altar with the little slit in the top. Anybody saw that in church, the wooden box? Sometimes it have a cross on top of it. And you just walk right there and slide the tithes and offering or whatever you love offering or whatever, you know, money you want to put in there. And that's another thing. We have to pay tithes and offering. I'm telling you, if you want to be blessed, you got to obey God to the letter. Pay them tithes and offering. Stop talking about what the preacher buying with the money. You didn't give it to the preacher. Give it to God and walk away. And expect the blessings of the Lord. Yeah. Lord, I'm giving this to you. And look, if it's not for you to give it over there because you're not giving it, God is not over there, he's going to stop you. Because he knows the very intent of your heart. And I'm praying today for people because of this. Folk come to trick them. This sound good to me. This what he mean right here. And they read some book or somebody over here that's not even anointed. Don't even have the spirit of God living in them. And they done broke something down and it sound good to their flesh and they follow that. But it's not God. We got to follow God. If not, we will be destroyed by the stuff and things that we follow. We may as well be in the high places, burning stuff and bringing stuff. Because we're not following God. He made things so easy for us. He used to be a little rough for them people back then. And people had to carry stuff for miles to sacrifice it. And then it got to where, well, if you don't want to, you know, carry it that far, sell it and bring the money to it, you know. But today God just let us go ahead and not worry about a dove, a bird, or none of that. We don't have to do that. We don't have to go on this side of the altar and burn this, and then on that side of the altar we take the fat because the lean go on this side, and then in the front, we don't have to do all of that no more. God blessed us. We just take the money to the church in an envelope if we want to, and just put it in the plate and go on about our business. But it's unto God. It's sacred, too. It's a holy thing. So we pray, put that money in the plate, and roll on, expecting God, because he even said you could prove him. He'll open up the windows of heaven for you. I bless him. Let me tell you something. He does it for me. When it comes to food, I eat the good of the land. I done cooked this morning because I got that son coming to pick up food. It's their last go round, I believe, though, because I can't cook like this. I wasn't supposed to get an eye doctor's appointment this quick. It wasn't supposed to be until June or July. They went ahead and gave me an early appointment. Pay them tithes and offerings. Make your sacrifice. Every time you turn around, God going to open a door for you. Yeah. Pray over your money. Ask God to multiply it. Ask God to bless it. Lord, use me to have the right mind to spend this money in the right way. A lot of times I step out in faith. And by the way, I bought a computer yesterday, $42 a month. But I wanted to get it in case this smash or crash or whatever it does, I'm still able to, you know, continue. Because this one here is very old. It's in good shape now, and I probably could have it refurbished, but that may take a minute. And I'm without a computer and I can't do the morning Jesus in the morning. So I just trust the Lord and went on and got another one. Because at first they told me $63 a month. I was like, well, you may as well tell me $100. And then they said, well, we can only give you $4.99 in credit. I'm like, what? Well, then it come back and they gave me a thing of $700. And I'm able to pay. And the way they did it, they usually do it where you pay every 2 weeks. But the way they did mine, you pay once a month. I was blessed. And the payment is not due until April 30th. Isn't that something? Yeah, they didn't want no upfront money. I say, thank you, Jesus. God will work it out. If we let him, he will work it out. So I'm thankful unto him and grateful unto him. And Sister Angela Foote has been blessing us and Sister Jerry with a lot of different things that we needed because I have to pay Microsoft Word. I have to pay for the websites, which I got to get over and upgrade them, make myself a note right now. I got to update the websites and some other stuff. And so I'm thankful because I remember the time it wasn't like that. Everything was coming out my pocket and scanning over here to what the world say, robbing Peter to pay Paul for faithfulness, huh? Faithfulness got me blessed. No matter what it took, Lord, you say, do it, I'm doing it. And every month he opened the door and he made a way. And I'm thankful unto him because not only just us in the United States listen, people somewhere everywhere listen. Yeah, I seen some Arabians. I said, ooh, look at this. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because many people looking for God, they're a little sick of this new wave, new age stuff that folk done changed into and then turned around and flipped the word with, because some people know better. Everybody got to work hard on a job. You got to have two or three jobs and then you're competing with the pastor and the Joneses because they tell you if you don't have all this stuff, you don't have God. The devil is a fool and a liar and will make a fool and a liar out of us if we allow him to. No, that's not the way. That's called the American dream. That's according to America. That's not according to God. Yeah. I had a 1998 Ford Contour and I was just as happy as if I had a brand new Bentley. Why? God gave it to me. Hallelujah. Lived in the project. Just as happy as if I had the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. Why? That's where God placed me. Wherever he is, he brought, well, wherever I was, he came in with me. He was right there with me. Took good care of. Yeah, but see, the devil will trick us. That's why we pray for our mind. Hallelujah. Good morning, Sister Spinner. God bless you this morning. How are you? Can you hear me, Sister Spinner? Okay, I think she... Okay, it's touched by mistake, I'm sure. All right, I close your mic back. Let me see here. Yeah. I was blessed wherever I was. When I was homeless, I was blessed. Yes, I was blessed up, walking up and down the street. I didn't even have a car. And I was still happy, still blessed, slept good at night, all of that. Because he was with me. And I continued to ask him. I continued to seek him. I continued to knock on his door. I didn't look around me. I wasn't into all of that. Plus, I was on a mission. Had a job. And on the job, had prayer every morning. The circle got bigger and it got so big, they put us out the building. There was no room in there. On the job, people would have problems and the supervisor said, well, have you talked to Barbara? And they would say, no, who is Barbara? And I would see them pointing at my cubicle. Go over there and talk to that lady in that cubicle right there. And when they would leave there, they would be upbeat and happy. And we had a bell we used to click. And when you made a sale, you tap that bell and they write it on the board. And I would be, ding, ding, show me some love. Ding, ding, show me some love. And they liked all of that. Every Monday morning, I took either donuts or pastries or something for everybody because we got free coffee. And so I would bring the donuts or, you know, some type of pastry in there every Monday morning. The strangest thing is my son didn't even, he never knew I worked there. He went and applied and got a job there and did the same thing. Every morning, on Monday morning, he brought fresh Davies. And when I found out, I was like, what? He was like, yeah, I take them Danishes over there every morning. I stop and get them, and, you know, everybody got them a Danish and some coffee or whatever they want. Yeah. God is good to us if we'll open our eyes and look. But some of us, we can't see because we're looking at what other people got. We're looking at what the devil is offering. Oh, but if you taste and see this morning that God is good. You may not have a house on the hill. You may not have the biggest church. You may not have the biggest ministry. But I learned this right here. Small is big in God's eyes. Small is big. Because I'm able to do one-on-one. I'm able to reach more people. I'm able to remember everybody. I'm able to remember you in prayer. And now let me see something I think you can use. Here, go to Facebook. I'm putting it on my page, so if you're looking at my page, you can get it. God is good. And he's not just good because I can have a house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. I can have all this stuff in fact. He's not just good because of that. He's good because he's Almighty God. That have all power, that made the heavens and the earth, and he made man for his pleasure. He is just good. And looked like he would have just checked us out and let us go. But he won't do it. His love is unconditional. We mess up, he right there. He said, come. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I feel like a run now. Come. And let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll wash your white as snow. He said, come, let's talk about it now, Barbara. You did what now? Oh, Lord, this and that, and I did this and that. And I'm sorry, God, please forgive me. When this come back around, don't let it find me there. He's the one who can say, well, all right, go on. It's forgiven. And if he forgive you, the world may as well forgive you. And please forgive yourself. Because he put that thing in the sea of forgetfulness. The only way he'll remember it is you bring it back up to him. Because he'll never bring it back up to you. When he forgive, he forget. We want to forgive, but we don't want to forget. If you forgive, you got to forget it. That's why he told you how many times you're supposed to forgive. Because each time you got to forget it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to love them enemies. I know it's what Gary say, rougher than the gulf. You got to love them anyway. And again, now, just because you love them, you forgave them and you love them, you ain't got to deal with them every day. You don't have to run to their house, their job, where you know they're going to be. I'm running over there. Hey, girl, You pray for her, love her. If you find out she needs something and you're able to bless, be a blessing, but put two eggs in your shoes and beat it. Ain't no hanging around and all of that. You've done what God is pleased with. You did it from your heart, now move on. Because we like to linger. We like to stay too long. And staying too long can mess us up. Staying too long can get us in trouble. Yeah. But if we'll just do what he say and move on, we'll be all right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, I have one more request here. Let me see if I can find this one. All right. You can't beat him giving no matter how hard you try. The more you give, the more he's going to give to you. Yeah. Planting, hallelujah. I promise planting a seed will bless you. And them tithes and offering, helping somebody in need of help, all of that will come back to you. Sometimes it don't come back in the way that you give. You need it in another way. You gave it this way, but you need it in another way. But when you plant, you tell your seed, assign your seed, tell your seed what to do, and you will be blessed. Hallelujah. So we thank God this morning. And is there anyone else have anything they would like to say? If so, please press that number one and come in. I see Sister, it's been a hand raised, but I'm not sure she raised a hand, you see. And
Ms. Barbara.
Yes, ma'am.
Sister Simone, I want to tell her, thank you for that skit. That was a nice gesture. It, you know, if most married people were to hear that and focus on that, that is really nice what she wrote, what she read today. That was really nice. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Hello?
Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So that was Sister Simone?
Uh-huh. Sister Samoa.
Sister Samoa. Okay. Yeah, she did really good on that because you know what? That is real life. How can you walk away from me? We were supposed to be invested. I saw a movie on TV about a man that was with a lady for 2 years, and he told her, well, it's been, I don't, we were just hooking up. But then he met this other lady. Within 3 months, he was ready to move in with her and marry her. So we have to be careful who we give our hearts to. And we have to get on the same page with some of these people. So that was a very good skit. And she read it so perfectly. So I just want to tell her thank you and tell Brother Louis good morning. And sorry for cutting in, but I just want to say thank you.
Yes. And Sister Dr. Goodman said that was so real to her. Yes, it was real to me too. And when she first called me on the phone with it, I'm almost speechless because I'm like, she going through and I'm hearing a conversation and then what's going on, you know? And at the end of it, she laughed and said, what you think, Miss Barbara? Oh, goodness. Oh, you did that. Yes, she did. You did that. So I think it's a good thing. And I think you're good at what you do with it. And I would just, you know, keep trying, keep looking. And because God have people everywhere. Willie Brown and I was talking about that, and I was telling him I wasn't made for Hollywood. See, because I'm too, Now, I'd be like Elisha and Elijah. Yeah, see, I'd be done spoke damnation on you right there with the foolish. So now it's best I just stay in my place. And it's already all right in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else? If not, we will pray out. And we pray that the Lord bring us back Monday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And on what day of the Wednesday, I should be using the new computer because it should get here on Tuesday. They said late afternoon. And so the people coming to set it up in my office and everything. And then on Wednesday, I'll maybe use the new computer, and we don't have to worry about sound. Hallelujah. Everything is updated and good to go. And so we thank God for it. Yeah. All right. I will pray us out. This month. Well, where's Pastor David? Pastor David, you still here? Is his mic still open? Pastor David, are you still here? All right. I will pray us out, and we pray the Lord bring us back. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for all that has been said and done. Thank you for your word. For Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And Father, we thank you for the Old Testament. We thank you for being able to learn from what those people did unto you back during those days. And Lord, we thank you that we know what not to do. And Lord, no matter what you give us, we know where to look to the hills from which cometh our help. No matter what we have, no matter what we get, all of our help comes from you. You made the heavens and the earth. And Father, without you, we can do nothing. We may forget it, but God, yet without you, we can do nothing. And as we depart this morning, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would fix our hearts today and regulate our minds. Father, let this mind be in us that was also in your Son, Christ Jesus. He wanted to please you. He come to do the will because you sent him. And Lord, you send in us and let us obey you. Let us study your word. Let us pray. Let us fast and do what's pleasing and acceptable unto you. Lord, we ask that you would send a spirit of obedience upon us, a spirit of hunger and thirst for your word and for you like never before in the name of Jesus. Bless every family member that's represented here. Those that are coming through the archives, move in a special way today for them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that you're able to stretch money. We know that you're able to make it go much further for those that stand in need of finances this morning. Move by your spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Touch and heal those that are sick. Move, Lord, for your people today. In the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you this morning. We thank you for hearing and we thank you for answering us. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings upon you this weekend starting April the 1st, 2022, in the name of Jesus. So have a blessed weekend. We're going to our last song of the morning. And after this song, we won't be coming back today. Have a blessed day. Blessed weekend.
Thank you.
the songs of deliverance whenever I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong.